Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person, and all of you who are joining us online. And we have quite a few folks joining us online today, because as you'll see, a lot of our folks are traveling and are out of town, but I've already heard that a lot of them are joining us online, so good morning. We have a few announcements this morning. The first is that it's the third Sunday of the month. That means that we'll have our basket offering after our regular offering, and it's going to go this month to the Davidson Medical Ministries. It's a busy week here at Holly Grove. Tomorrow night, the Agape Women's Circle is meeting for dinner at the new Italiano's Pizzeria on Talbert Boulevard. We've got senior citizens on Wednesday, along with worship and music committee. Thursday night is Bible study, and this coming Saturday is our VBS day. We are so excited as plans are almost complete. It's gonna be from 9 to 12:30, and we're gonna be talking all about communion and all that Jesus does for us at the table. If you or someone you know has a child that would like to attend, the registration page is online, but you can talk to me after worship about getting that to you as well. Today is a reverent and somber day in the life of our congregation. It was 10 years ago today that Lauren Cecil tragically died. And as you can see, her family, in order to take care of themselves, they are not here today. The Cecils are at the beach, and Herbert and Debbie are in the mountains. Sometimes you just have to get away and create some space from the grief and the sadness. But I bring it up because Lauren's death is a deep and significant part of our memory together as a community. I'm sure that you can all remember where you were when you found out that Lauren died. You probably also remember all of the beautiful ways that you came together in the days and weeks and months following Lauren's death to support her family, and all of the ways that you continue to do that as they still journey through their grief and as you journey through your own grief. And so today, on this 10th anniversary of her death, and by the way, when our beloved saints in the communion of saints die, the day that we remember them is their death date. It's the day that their baptism is complete. It's the date that they enter into the church triumphant. It is the date when their bodies and their minds and their hearts are completely whole and healed, and they enter fully into the presence of God. And so we give thanks that we know that Lauren is fully in the presence of God, healed and whole. But we also acknowledge our own grief and sadness that still remains after 10 years. So you'll notice that her family has purchased the flowers for today at the altar. And we are going to offer a prayer in the petitions for our prayers of intercession for Lauren as well. But I ask that you pray for the Cecils and the Franks this day, as I know that all that has stirred up must be incredibly painful. We also have something to celebrate this morning. Bobby and Jana's granddaughter is about to have a baby girl, and her baby shower is this weekend. And so we are going to bless this little prayer shawl for Mamie's baby girl. We don't know her name yet, right? So this is for Mamie's daughter, Bobby and Jana's great-granddaughter. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer and that we can come before you with our hearts and our minds, with words, without words, to offer our thoughts to you. We come before you giving you thanks that even now you are knitting this little baby together in Mamie's womb. We ask that you would bless her as she grows, that you would help her to grow just like Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and all people. Bless Mamie throughout the remainder of her pregnancy and as she learns to become a new mom. As the baby girl feels this prayer shawl around her, may she somehow know that she is loved more than she will ever know by you, and that she is loved by her Holly Grove Lutheran Church family. In Jesus' name, amen. And last but not least, we have a couple of birthdays and anniversaries. Brody Fritz has a birthday this week. Neil and Terry Clark are celebrating their anniversary. And Hunter Hedrick is remembering his baptism. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned, we have hurt our community, we have squandered your blessings, we have hoarded your bounty, we have failed to be honest, we have lacked the courage to speak, we have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for the children's sermon. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Everett. And I think Maddie is coming too. Are you all having a good summer so far? Yeah? Have you gotten to spend a lot of time outside?
Yeah.
Good. Have you gotten to go swimming at all or play in the sprinkler?
I have been swimming in the Denton pool.
You've been swimming at the Denton pool?
Yesterday.
Did you have a good time? Why does swimming feel so good in the summer?
Because it
cools you down. I think we all love to kind of play in the water. In fact, I turned my sprinkler on yesterday so that my dog George could run through the sprinkler and have a little bit of fun. There are all kinds of ways that we are reminded that water is everywhere, right? There's water inside of us.
Yeah.
Most of our body, 70%, is made up of water. But what else do we do with water?
Drink it so we can get energy.
Drink it so we can get energy. What else do we do?
Bathe.
We bathe with it.
Swim.
We swim. Do you wash your hands with water, Maddie?
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do we do with water? Do you ever help your parents wash the dishes?
No.
No? You have? Conrad has helped his parents with the dishes. Let's see, what else do we do? You know, every night before I go to bed, I wash my face and I brush my teeth and I use water with that. At the daytime, but not at the nighttime. Well, you brush them in the morning, and that's important. Well, I've just been thinking about water a lot this summer, especially because it's kind of hot and we want to be in the water to cool off. But I thought this morning we could come to the baptismal font, and maybe we could all remember our baptism and make the sign of the cross with water on our forehead. Would you like to do that with me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't worry, I won't dunk you. I guess I could try to pick you up and dunk you in upside down, but don't worry, I won't do that. I don't think I'm that strong. Okay, so if you will do what I do, so we're going to dip our finger. Here, Maddie, do you want to dip your finger in the water? I'll dip our finger in the water, and we're going to make the sign of the cross on our forehead, and we're going to repeat after me. Say, I am a beloved child of God. God loves us. And God forgives us. And God is always with us. And you know, you don't just have to come to this font, to this bowl of water, to remember your baptism. Anytime you have water, you can remember your baptism. Every time I wash my hands, I remember and say, Anna, you are a beloved child of God. When I wash my face, when I take a shower, even when I do the dishes, I say that to myself, Anna, you are a beloved child of God. So anytime you're with water, you can do that. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for water. When we have water with us, help us to remember that with water, you adopt us as your children. Help us to remember that you love us very much. We love you, God. Amen. Okay, I think I told you all this earlier. We don't have anybody for children's church, but you're welcome to go play, or in the very back, there are children's bulletins and bags with crayons and other activities that you can do if you want to stay here. It's totally up to you, okay?
Yeah.
You can draw stuff. There's paper, coloring pages, all in the bags at the back. Okay, thank you for coming up.
The first reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was found in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that we might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So most of you know that I am pretty excited that 2 weeks from today we are having our Christmas in July worship service. We had one last year, and folks loved it so much that I've had multiple requests over the past year to see if we could do it again. So we are going to make the last Sunday in July a Christmas in July Sunday for the foreseeable future. And so 2 weeks from today, I'm going to look out at a sea of red and green with the hopes that you all are going to dress in Christmas colors. Our stomachs will be rumbling as the smells of the fifth Sunday potluck food waft into here. And joy will fill the air as we sing our beloved Christmas hymns. And as I've been studying this week about what it means that Jesus is God's only Son in the Creed, one of the verses of one of the hymns we're going to sing that Sunday, it just keeps coming to my mind over and over. And it's the second verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It reads, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The words in this verse that we have all sung more times than we can count have helped us put into words to proclaim the truth that Jesus is fully God and fully human. This is one of the great mysteries of our faith, and not the kind of mystery that Scooby-Doo and the gang try to solve, but a mystery of our faith, meaning that we can't fully understand it. It's not a mystery to be solved, but a mystery to receive by faith. And so even if we can't fully understand or explain this mystery that Jesus is fully God and fully human, God gives us the faith to believe the truth of it. And so, brothers and sisters, this summer we are making our way through our summer sermon series, the Apostles' Creed, exploring what we believe and why we believe it. And before I go any further, I want to affirm you, because this isn't easy. Exploring what we believe faithfully is hard work. It can be hard mentally, it can be hard emotionally, it can be hard spiritually, because it stretches us, and that can be uncomfortable. But you're doing it. You're showing up Sunday after Sunday to hear these sermons. And as you do, you're loving God with your mind as you learn more about who God is, and you're letting God expand your hearts and minds as you grow in knowledge and as you let your image of God expand and grow as well. And so I just want to say, I know it's not easy work, but it is faithful work. I affirm the hard and faithful work you are doing this summer. And so this morning we are going to look more at what it means in the Creed to say that Jesus is God's only Son. First, I'm going to give you the answer, and then we're going to try to unpack it. So when we say that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, although we affirm that Jesus has a very unique relationship with God, the Father, the first person of the Trinity, to say that Jesus is God's only Son is not a statement about biology, right? We sort of have to say, okay, in our 21st century minds, we have a way of understanding how people are created. There's a mom and a dad, and somehow things come together. That's not what this is saying. Yes, Jesus and God the Father have a special relationship. And yes, we use the word son, but human biology isn't helpful here because Jesus is fully God as well. And in the first century, they would have had no understanding of biology and reproduction in the way that we do. So here's the answer. Jesus being God's only Son in its fullest sense means that Jesus is God. It means that Jesus is the same substance and is of the same nature as God. Jesus, God's only Son, when we say that, we are saying that we believe that Jesus is God. And if you're like me, maybe you're asking yourself the question, well, if that's what it means, why don't they just come out and say that? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? It probably would be. But to be fair, Jesus' family and his friends and his followers, they didn't fully understand who he was and who he is. And we see in the Gospels, in the writings of the early church, we see that in those first few centuries, Jesus' followers are trying to figure out how to talk about him. They're trying to figure out how to understand him, because it was absolutely mind-boggling that God would come to humankind, to the creation that God has made, as a human creature. But in the Gospels and the writings of the early church, it is clear that their experience was one of encountering God in Jesus. And then also, at the same time as the early church is trying to understand who Jesus was and is and how Jesus was fully human and fully God, they were trying to do it in the context of the Trinity, because they were also trying to understand the Trinity and how to talk about the Trinity and how to talk about the relationships that all three persons share with one another and how God is one in three and three in one. But if you remember why our creeds were written, it's primarily one, to affirm faith in the Trinity, and two, to help bolster believers against the views that at that time seemed the greatest threat to Christian faith. So some of the views that were of the greatest threat to the Christian faith at that time were false teachings that Jesus wasn't actually a human, that he just seemed like a human, and folks who believed this, they kind of thought that Jesus was mostly spirit and he wore human nature like we wear clothing. There was also the false teaching that ancient Israel's God was not the same God as Jesus. And so they didn't believe that those were the same. In fact, they believed that there were two gods, which is diatheism, not monotheism, believing in one God like we do. And then there was another false teaching that Jesus was only human and not God. And so as you can imagine, there was a lot going on in the early church and in those first centuries as they were trying to understand this and figure out how to put it into words. And so the early Christians, as they were trying to find ways to tell the truth about how God in Christ is fully God and fully human, they wrote the creeds. And in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, which I'm going to talk a little bit about today as well, they try to put into words what we believe about Jesus. And one of the ways that they talk about Jesus being God, yet being distinct from the other two persons of the Trinity, is by saying that Jesus is God's only Son. It was their way of saying that Jesus is the same substance of God, that Jesus is of the same nature of God, and at the very same time, Jesus is distinct from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's a lot, right? So for people living in the first century, the idea of God's Son might have brought up thoughts about how sometimes in the Old Testament, kings were referred to as God's Son, but capital S, Son. And even how in other ancient cultures, rulers were thought to be divine. Like in Egypt, pharaohs were thought to be offsprings of gods. They were considered to be gods on earth, sort of mediators between the gods and the people. And so people in the first century would have had all of that in the back of their mind. But Jesus was different. In Jesus, God didn't just raise up a human king or a human Messiah for Israel. In Jesus, God became human to fulfill that role. Jesus wasn't just God's lowercase son. Jesus was and is God's only son, capital S. In the first decades after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul wrote the words that we read earlier in Philippians. Paul tells us that Christ was in the form of God and was equal to God, meaning that Christ is God. Paul goes on to tell us that Jesus came from God, became human, and returned to God. In the Colossians passage, we read the powerful words that Christ is the image of the invisible God. We read that Jesus created all things, that Jesus rules over all things, and that Jesus holds all things together. What this passage is telling us is that Jesus is God, that Jesus is co-eternal with God, that Jesus has always existed and will always exist. And you would be right on track with me if you're thinking of some of the things that we hear about in the Gospel of John that echo this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that all things came into being through Christ, and that no one has seen God, but we have seen God in Christ. A couple of centuries after the Apostles' Creed was written, in 325, the Nicene Creed was written to further help clarify our belief that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And it says this: "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human." Like I said earlier, I know that Jesus being fully God and fully human is a lot to understand. There have been countless books about it. There's an entire area of study about Christ called Christology, where people devote their entire years in their career of study to understanding Jesus, to understanding this. I've got a few papers on my computer that I've written about it. It's so hard to understand, but what I want to say is, it's good to think about it, even if it is hard. I remember what one of my mentors once said, and I think of this often. She said, "Whether or not you understand it isn't the point. And whether or not you believe it isn't the point either. The truth of it is what matters." And so even if you struggle to believe this personally, remember that the creed is the church's statement of belief. Let the church believe it for you. Even if you don't fully understand it, there's grace and there's hope that God gives us the faith to believe its truth. And so maybe in a couple of Sundays, when we sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," maybe that second verse will hit just a little bit differently. And maybe we can sing it with a little bit more confidence. "Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Guide your church, O God, to proclaim your love in this congregation and throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees and fields to grow, protecting waterways from pollution, and instilling in all people the need to be good stewards. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Maintain peace among all people, O God, and raise up lawyers to work for justice in the courts, advocates to speak for the downtrodden, and politicians to work on behalf of the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Heal those who are sick, especially Bill, Scott, Paul in Carolina, John, Mickey, Kent, Bobby and Jana, Sandra, all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Listen to the prayers of those gathered in worship all over the world, O God. Protect those who travel near and far, and accompany guests to this congregation, and nurture our faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of hope, we remember before you on the 10th anniversary of her death, our sister Lauren. Thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us and all who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until, by your call, we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Inspire us by the faithful departed, O God, examples of your embodied love, whose confidence in the resurrection guides us in living lives worthy of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray together.
God of all creation,
all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine, and nourish us with these gifts, that we might be signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need, and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.